know it's absolutely important that when you come to church, that you come expectant. Amen? We need to be expectant. Everybody knows what an expectant mom looks like. Amen? Or mom-to-be. We all know that. But let me tell you something. We need to come expectant. Expectant to receive from God. The man at the gate, beautiful, wasn't beautiful to him because he was a beggar. You know, lame. And he was begging. Peter and John said, look on us. So he immediately put his eyes on them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, he thought he was going to get some money, some silver or gold. But that's not going to heal the guy. Peter says, I don't have any silver or gold. My wife has that. People take that out of context, you know, and say, they didn't have any silver or gold. Well, you know, matter had his wallet on him, you know what I'm saying? But he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Well, you know the rest of the story. He rose up and he walked. There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, boy, I'll tell you what, we need to come to church expecting. We need to be driving in. I'm coming to receive today. You open your mouth, you say it. I'm coming to receive today. I'm going to draw on the gift of God that's in the service. Amen. And it's important to do that, not just be a passive comer, but an active comer. Amen. And receive. I'm here to receive. Every time Lynn was referring to the meetings that we go to, you know. And folks, we don't just go to those meetings just to get blessed, you know what I mean, to go out and get refreshed. Yeah, we're blessed, but we're going to receive. We're going to receive more impartations from the Lord. Amen. So we put a demand on the gift of God that's on the inside of those speakers when we go in there. And I'm telling you what, praise the Lord. And this meeting we were just at recently in the Fort Worth Convention Center, I'll never be the same. Our family will never be the same. Never, ever be the same. Amen? So with that thought in mind, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word today. Your word's already blessed, Lord. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear today, Father, what you're endeavoring to get across to us. And oh, God, I thank you today for great joy in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in 2 Timothy, we started a little series last week called Mighty Grace. Mighty Grace. It was said of the New Testament church in the book of Acts that great grace was upon the church, the early church. The first initial outpouring of the church, the Holy Ghost came, and that was the inception of the church, and great grace was upon them. Paul, again, here is writing to Timothy. I'm not going to repeat everything that we shared last week. Go ahead and get the tape and you can listen to it or just go on our website. But notice verse 1, it says, Paul writing to a pastor, Timothy, says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Say, be strong in the grace. Okay. The things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So Paul said, commit these things to faithful people, people you can count on. Okay? That they can, again, pass on this information to other people. Amen? How many of you know faithfulness is important? But he says, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. Now, if Paul told Timothy to be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus, and then we sit there and think, okay, I know it says we're to be strong in the grace, but how do I do that? Okay? We covered that last week. And so sometimes religious words can throw a curveball because we think it means this or that, you know. But we're talking about the power of grace. We're going to get into the meaning of it and so forth. But he says that we are to be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. So how can I or you or we, how can we be strong in something that we don't know what it is? Okay? If you're sick in your body, what do you need? No, you don't. You need grace. Trick question, huh? If you're broke, what do you need? Money. No, no, no. You need grace. Okay? If you're oppressed, you need what? Grace. Grace. And I'll show you because everything comes under the category of grace that you need. Okay? And I believe the Lord's going to show us and open up our eyes here. But we made mention of the fact last week, and I'll just refer to this because of time, because I want to move into some other thing territory this morning. But I found this very interesting because a number of years ago, and I don't even know how many years it's been because I've been studying the Word for 30 plus years, you know, but I saw a pattern in, and I didn't hear this from someone else teaching this. You can, but in this case, I didn't hear anybody teaching this. But the Lord showed me something. He said, did you ever notice? And while I'm saying that, go over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And the Lord brought something to my attention that I had never saw before. And it did something to me. It revolutionized my thinking. Because, you know, I've read through the epistles, you know, they're the letters written to the church, you know, Colossians, Ephesians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Thessalonians, Romans, you know, Jude, 1 and 2 Peter, all the different books of the New Testament. But in Paul's letters that were written to the church, Paul wrote nearly three-fourths of the New Testament. Think about that. The revelation that that man had. And that's why, and we'll get into this probably next week, that's why there was given to him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. Okay? And that has been one of the most abused scriptures in the Bible, because people say, well, Paul had an eye disease and he had this problem and that problem. It was not a sickness or a disease. The Bible says it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he be exalted above measure because of the abundance of revelation. Paul was caught up into the third heaven. He was caught up, out of body experience, went into heaven. And the Lord downloaded to him what we have in these letters to the church. So he was a major threat to the kingdom of darkness. I'm talking major threat to the kingdom of darkness. And but the devil tried to stop him. We'll get into that later. But Paul, God's answer to Paul was, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. When I am weak, then am I strong. Amen? We'll get into that next week. But notice in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints that are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 2 that he uses this phrase as the opening of his letter. Grace to you and peace. Now go to Ephesians 6. And verse 24, and I'll show you the end of this. Now, this is the pattern of every one of Paul's letters, every single one of them. Okay, verse 24, Paul said this, and this is, of course, Ephesians, the last chapter now. It says, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So you notice it's like a sandwich. You have the first piece of bread, grace. You got the meat in between it, and then the last piece of bread, it's like a sandwich. Grace in the beginning, grace in the end. Is Paul just using this phraseology just to fill up his letter so it's a longer letter? No. Because the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it is profitable for us. Amen? And so, getting back to what the Lord shared with me in my heart, he said, did you notice that every one of Paul's letters, he starts out with grace and he ends the letter with grace? And I thought, when he shared that with me, I thought, that's interesting. Now, it's at that point, I still didn't know the purpose of him sharing that with me until he began to give me some more revelation of the grace of God that's available to you and to me. Because he's writing to a church, isn't he? Now, let me ask you a question. This is not a trick question. Is the church at Ephesus any different than the church today? No. They didn't have a certain brand of Christianity that you and I don't have today. You know, like today you got the Sears brand, the Kmart brand, different kind of brand, Macy's, you know what I mean? There's not different brands of Christianity. You're either in Christ or you're not. And if you're in Christ, you have it all. Now, in this scripture right here, these two scriptures, we see that as an example here, and I'm not going to take the time to go into the other ones, but if you'll look at all of Paul's letters, you're going to find that he opens up that letter with grace and he ends it with grace, all right? And he's endeavoring to get a message across to the churches and to us today that there is a power that comes with understanding the revelation of the grace of God, the power of God, amen? Made mention of the fact last week that most people's, and mine was that way too for a number of years, because that's what I heard from other people. So you repeat what other people say. When I was first saved. What's grace? Unmerited favor. How many of you ever heard that? Now that's not incorrect, it's just incomplete. Part of it's true, but it's not the complete picture of it. Grace is more than just unmerited favor. That's a big part of it. But grace is everything that God has given us in the person of Jesus Christ. Wow. Everybody say, wow.
Wow.
Say it backwards. Wow. Wow. Amen. Grace is everything that God has given us in Christ Jesus. Now, I gave you an acronym last week that means this, grace, G-R-A-C-E, that's how you spell grace, you know. And I heard this, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. So everything falls under the category of grace, what Jesus did for you and for me. It's not just a fancy religious word. But grace encompasses your salvation, your healing, your protection, your provision, etc., etc. These all come under the heading of grace. So when you have a back pain and you need a new refrigerator, that's where most people are at. Okay? What do you need? A revelation of the grace of God. Because in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, do you know He already provided all those things? The Scripture says in Peter, I believe it says that God has given us, through Jesus Christ, everything that pertains to this life and godliness. Yes. He's given us everything already. Well, you look in your closet, you say, well, that could have fooled me. I don't see it. Okay? Listen, something can belong to you and you still don't see it. Mm-hmm. How many of you have money in the bank right now? All right. Do you see it with these eyes?
No.
But it's there. And just because you can't see something doesn't mean that it's not there. Doesn't mean that it's not real. And that's where the power of faith comes in. Now in John chapter 1, real quick, look at verse 16. John chapter 1, verse 16. I'm going to move rather quickly this morning. So, because I got some scriptures here that I have to get in here. But in John chapter 1, verse 16, it says, of His fullness have we received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Who did it come by? Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. The law, we saw last week, was only our schoolmaster that led us to Christ. The law didn't save us. All it did was reveal that we've missed the mark. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. All that does is show us we've missed it. Amen? And yet you get people nowadays that say, they come along and say, well, we got to keep the Ten Commandments. We got to teach. No, we don't. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? That's blasphemy what you're saying right here. Now, the Bible says that if you walk in love, you fulfill the entire law. Galatians says that. Romans says it. If you keep the love commandment, we only have one commandment under the New Testament. Did you know that?
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. We don't have Ten Commandments. We've got one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to lie on them. You're not going to steal from them. You're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to do all these things that are given to curb sin, right? So the New Testament law that we have is the law of love. And if we're ruled by love, that love is inside of our heart. That love will determine certain things we shouldn't say. If what we're about to say is going to injure or hurt somebody, we shouldn't say it. Amen? Unless you want that to come back on you. Because when you're holding a grudge towards someone and speaking evil of other people, you know, basically that's what's going to come back on us. It's like a boomerang. You throw that thing out there, it looks like it's gone. All of a sudden it comes back and it's heading for your head. Amen? Because what we sow is what we reap. Amen? That's Scripture. What we reap in life according to the seeds that we've been sowing in our life. Thank God for supernatural crop failure that we can use the name of Jesus and say, oh Lord, I've missed it here, forgive me. And all of us have been there and done that. Okay? But if we want to see good days, the Bible says, he that will see good days and experience good in this life, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto our prayers. Amen. And so Ephesians, if you would go over there real quick to Ephesians chapter 2. I believe you're going to appreciate Jesus even more today. Amen. You might have to stand on that seat before it's all said and done here this morning. Amen. It's all right to do that. It'll hold you up. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, we saw this again last week. For by grace are you saved through faith. You're saved by what? Grace. We're saved by grace. For by grace are you saved, but it's through faith, that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, again, you're saved by grace, but it's through the avenue of faith that you receive that grace. Jesus is the fullness of grace. Much like this doorway here, to get into this room, let's say this room's the grace, all right? But you had to come through the doorway, that's faith, to get into this room right now. Does that make sense? So the doorway, the entryway into the grace of God, the power of God, is through faith. Praise the Lord. Now here we go today. Jesus took, if you're taking notes here, Jesus took our place in every respect. He took our place. You know, most people just view Jesus as a religious part of our past. You know what I mean? Jesus Christ, the Son of God that walked this earth, you know. And but a lot of Christians, a lot of people on this earth don't see the substitute that he actually became. And he became our great substitute. Go to Colossians chapter 2. And here's where I want to start today and read into this here. Jesus took our sickness, he took our sin, he took our disease, he took our poverty, he took our shame. Galatians says he took the curse. He became the curse for us. Glory to God. Let's talk about this first one here. But in Colossians chapter 2, in verse 13, it says, "And you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him." That means made alive with him. "Having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Can I have an amen?
Amen.
This is talking about who? Jesus. It's talking about Jesus. That we were dead in our sins and uncircumcision of our flesh, but he quickened us. That means made alive. That's an old English word that means made alive. "Together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." He took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Well, what did he nail to the cross? Your sins and my sins. All of us deserve to hang on that cross. Every one of us. Are you with me now? Every one of us deserved to hang on that cross because of the sin and so forth. But you know what? Jesus took our place, your place, my place, before we were even born. He looked down the road. God looked down the road thousands of years later. He saw you and I sitting here today. We were all part of that plan of salvation. But see, you had a part in that, didn't you? Now, you're saved by grace, but you still had a choice in that, didn't you? Nobody made you get saved. Now, I don't know each individual story here, how you got saved. How many of you are saved? Let me know it. Hallelujah. If you're born again, Jesus is your Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're born again. That's enough to get excited about. Amen. I'm not going to hell. Glory. That's enough right there to get excited about. And if you're ever tempted to get depressed, start thinking about hell. Because I know people that have gone there, not personally, but they've been there and come back, and you don't want to go there. People say, well, you know, if I don't receive Jesus, I'm just going to spend eternity in hell. I'll just be with my buddies. We'll just party. We'll just party. No, 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 no. There's separation in hell. You don't have, there's no fellowship. There's torment in hell. Okay? Hell was not created for man. It was created for the devil and his angels. But see, men will go, women will go there because they make the choice to reject what Jesus did. That's the only reason that someone goes to hell, is they reject the sacrifice that Jesus paid for them. Amen? That's the only reason. But when you said yes to Jesus, that was faith, and then you tapped into the grace of God, you became a child of the living God. You're a child of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Amen. You can smile a little bit this morning. Amen. Yes. Praise God. But Jesus took our sin. Now go to Psalm 103 for a minute here. Just go back there in the Old Testament. Now here's the thing that I want to show you today. Here's the main point I want to bring across today. Jesus Christ is the grace of God. Everything that we receive comes under that category of grace. Everything. Your sins forgiven, your healing, your deliverance, your provision, everything that you need in the natural and spiritual falls under the category of grace under Jesus Christ. But you have to tap into the grace by faith. It doesn't just fall on us like ripe cherries off a tree, you know. We have to say, I believe that, I accept that, right? Just like when you got saved, somebody witnessed to you, whether you heard a preacher or an individual, or I had an individual come to me and share the gospel with me. Well, at that point, I had a choice. He shared Ephesians, this scripture I just read about we're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourself, because I thought it was all good works. I grew up that way. I was a Methodist boy. And I grew up that way thinking, goody-goody two-shoes. Because, you know, in the Methodist church, they had attendance pins. You've heard me share this story before. And I saw a dude one time when I was just maybe this big. I was probably 7, 8 years old. And there was a guy that seemed to me at that time was in his late 40s, early 50s, that he walked in and he had this chain on his lapel, on his jacket, that went from here to here. Now, this pin's only about this big. It's real small. How many know what I'm talking about? You remember that? And I said to my mom and dad, I said, Dad, Mom, what is that? She goes, well, son, that's attendance pins. And they were all linked together, okay? Each one represented a year. Now, they're real small, and it went from here down to here. And I thought, this guy must have been born in church. Because as a little kid, I'm thinking, this is like etched into my thinking, like, whoa, if anybody's going to get into to heaven, it's going to be this dude right here. He's never missed church one day in his life. But how many of you know you can go to church all your life and split hell wide open? Because it's not going to church that makes you a Christian any more than sleeping in your garage makes you a Ford. Right. You've heard me say that before. Yes. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. It's accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And a lot of religious people hide behind the cloak of doing good deeds. There's nothing wrong with good deeds. We should do good deeds. But we don't do good deeds to get saved. Yeah. Right. We don't do good deeds to get born again. We do them after we're saved because we've been born again. You know what I'm talking about. So in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3 says this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of His what? Now there's another scripture it's in Psalms. I don't have reference to it right now. It just popped up in me. But it says that the Lord daily loads us with what? Benefits. I believe that's where Jesus got that scripture. Give us this day our daily bread. And the Bible says that God loads us daily with benefits. We ought to open up our hearts and our minds in the morning. We're going to say, Lord, I receive the benefits today. Amen. Well, brother, I don't feel worthy. None of us were worthy. Amen? That's called grace. He didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. But that's because of Jesus. Praise the Lord. But he says, don't forget his benefits. Verse 3, here it is right here. Who forgives how many of your iniquities? Well, that's another word for sin, iniquities. Everybody say all.
All.
What does all mean?
All.
Someone did research. I heard this one. Keith Moore talked about this. A guy said he did research in the Hebrew and the Chaldean, all these different things, you know. And he said, I found out what the word all means. It means all. It just means all. You can go so deep sometime that you don't even... Yeah, you get lost. But he says, he forgives all of your sins. Now, that was if we stop there, that'd be great. But he says, who healeth what? All of your diseases. All. A-L-L. All. Every. Who did that? Jesus did that. He forgave, and I pronounce to you this day, God's forgiven you all your sins. All of them. I don't care what it is. Well, brother, I think I've committed the unpardonable sin. First of all, you wouldn't even be thinking that if you committed the unpardonable sin. Someone that has committed the unpardonable sin, there's certain qualifications. I won't get into that too much today, but that none of you in this room could commit that sin. Let me tell you that right now. Okay? Because there are qualifications in Hebrews that they had to walk in the power of God and the manifestations of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. They were very mature in the things of God. Okay? But the average person, the average Christian that says, I think I've committed the unpardonable sin, shows me that they haven't, because someone that has committed that sin doesn't even think that way. They don't even think that way. All right? And so they say there's been more people, men or institutions, because they think they've committed the unpardonable sin. And so the devil's just beating over their heads. You've committed the unpardonable sin. You did that. You blasphemed the Lord. You did this, you know. And they're in torment in that.
Yes. Yeah, that's
the truth. Amen? I remember one time I went to visit a cousin. This is way back many years ago. I went to visit a cousin that was in a psychiatric ward, you know, and... he had had some issues and some chemical imbalances and things like that, and I'm just fresh. I'm new. I'm probably 18 years old, 19 years old at the time. I just got saved, walking with Christ, you know. So I want to pray for him. My aunt asked me if I would go pray for him, so I agreed. Well, this is over in Mayview. I don't think it's there anymore. They wiped that place out, you know. But you know, that's where a lot of crazy people were at that time. You know what I'm saying? Now, I wasn't totally new to this. This was totally new experience for me, you know. And I walk in there, and there's all these locked doors and stuff. You know, you got to get permission to go through all these different doors. And I finally got through this one door. It had this massive lock on it, you know. And it shut behind me, and it just had this echo through the hallway, you know. And all of a sudden, this guy comes out of this room somewhere. And he looks at me. He comes up to me like this. He goes, are you one of us? I says no. Amen. I don't know why I told that story, but I did anyway. But I was able to pray with him and bring him, God's forgiven you, God's cleansed you. But there are a lot of, that was my point, a lot of people, they've said, that are in these mental institutions are there because they thought that they've committed the unpardonable sin. Well, they haven't. Okay. Satan's a liar. And he'll condemn people. He's a master condemner. And he likes to condemn people, make them feel guilty all the time. You know what you did or didn't do? It's either what you did or what you didn't do. Are you with me now? When I was first saved, when I was first a believer, I didn't know a lot of this stuff. It took me a while before I got into a good church. But I was always walking in guilt and condemnation because I never felt like I was doing enough. I mean, it was like a slave driver behind me with a whip. Crack, crack. You got to do more. I would read the Bible, and I'd close the Bible, and the devil would say to my mind, you didn't read enough scripture. I would pray for 15 minutes or 30 minutes. The devil said, you didn't pray long enough. Now, maybe some of you here never went through that, but I did, because I wanted to please God. But when I found out that the spirit of condemnation was the spirit of the devil trying to heap condemnation on me, make me feel guilty. Of course, we could always be doing more. How many of you know that? No matter what we do, there's always more you could do. But we cannot allow ourselves to get under that cloud of guilt where that devil's just pushing us, that condemnation's driving us and pushing us.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those which are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And God's love towards you is not based on how much you do for Him.
Amen.
And if you do more for God, that doesn't mean He says, I love you a whole lot more. Are you with me now? Am I making my point? There's nothing that you or me can do to make God love us more. Nothing.
Amen.
Because the Bible says in John 17, Jesus said, Father, pray, I pray that you show them that you love them as much as you love me. Do you know the Father loves you equally as much as He loves the Lord Jesus Christ? Ha, ha, ha. Man, I'm telling you what, when you realize that and you embrace that and you accept that, that I'm loved of the Father, praise God. It'll revolution, it changed my life when I began to realize I don't have to be under this cloud of condemnation anymore. Right? And it freed me up that even if I did make a mistake, the Lord was still there to uphold me. He was still there to lift me up. Praise God. And to this day, it's etched inside my heart and my memory because I'm not perfect in the flesh. None of us here are perfect in the flesh. There's times we get angry, right? There's times we miss it. There's times we lose it. There's times we chew people out. Amen? Maybe before you came to church. There's times you get angry. There's times you get mad. And then the devil's there to say, so you're a real Christian. You better stay home today. You don't want to go to church today. You missed the mark today. You might as well stay home and watch television. Well, that's a real good thing to do. That's not going to help you. No, the Bible says we became the righteousness of God in Him. But notice in verse 3, we got to move here, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases. All. Verse 4 says, who redeemeth your life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So I wanted to read these scriptures here in Psalm here to show you that Jesus became, He's our grace, He is grace. Under Him, under Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Amen. Under Jesus, our diseases are all healed.
Yes.
Well, you check your body sometimes, you say, it could have fooled me. Amen? No, you got your spirit man. Your spirit man is to dominate your outward man. Yes, there may be symptoms. There may be an attack on your body at times, okay? We've all been there and done that, right? But we, our spirit man, that's the real you. That's who you are. When you die, your body stays here, but your spirit leaves, and it looks just like you. You're not some cloud floating around. You with me now? You are a spirit. That's the real you.
Amen.
And today, your spirit man is being fed. Okay? Are you with me?
Amen.
And the Word of God is spirit food. And the Word of God is feeding your spirit today. And Jesus took, He became our sin. And we took His righteousness. While I'm saying that, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I'll be honest with you. I stir up myself on a daily basis these scriptures that I'm reading to you right now. I speak them out loud over and over and every single day. And I remind myself, hey, Keith, this is who you are right here. It's not how you feel at the present moment, but this is who you are. This is what you are. Because this is what God says you are. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 says, therefore, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we've known Christ after the flesh, now henceforth know we Him no more. Now, how many of you here, you've not known Jesus after the flesh? None of us have. Okay? But we know Him after the Spirit, don't we? How many children of God do we have here? And you have not seen Jesus, but you're a child of God. They couldn't beat it out of you with a ball bat. Amen. You're a child of the living God. You haven't seen Jesus yet. Amen. But you have the witness in yourself. You have the witness in you that you're a child of the living God. Thank you, Lord. And by the way, that's the same witness that will lead you in the everyday affairs of life. That same witness that tells you, I'm a child of God. You don't see a vision. There's not an angel standing there. But you have a witness on the inside of you that says, you are a child of God. No one prophesied over you and said you're a child of God. That same witness that you know that you're a child of God is the same witness that will lead you and guide you into the affairs of this life. Are you with me? I won't charge you for that today, okay? Praise the Lord. You can take it for free. But notice in verse 17, therefore is therefore reason because of what he just said. It's a connective word. Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Everybody say, that's me.
That's me.
Verse 17, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Greek says a new species of being that never existed before. When you're in Christ, when you become a Christian, you are a new creature. Say, I'm a new creature.
I'm a new creature.
If you want to develop spiritually on a daily basis, if Christianity is a serious thing for you, if you're not just a churchgoer, okay, but where Christianity really means something to you, where you're walking this out, not just on Sunday morning, start to say what this scripture says in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And I've said this thousands and thousands of times over and over about me, about myself. Sometimes I'll even look in the mirror and say, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. When you begin to say this, revelation will start coming up. Your spirit man will start to dominate you. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things. Now, what are the old things that have passed away? The sin nature, sin, corruption. In God's eyes, you're a new creature. Amen. Has anybody here ever walked into the hospital in the area where there's new babies being born? When our kids were born, I remember there was this big window, you know. And right after the children were born, they put them in this little room there, and some of them were premature babies, so they had different hookups and so forth. But most of the kids were just normal. They're in there, you know, in these little bassinet-type things, you know. You know what I'm talking about? And you look in there and think, dear God, they're like 4 hours old, 3 hours old, 30 minutes old. And so I remember peeking in there when Josh, our firstborn, I looked in there and I saw his little name on there, Joshua Eggert. I thought, dear God, he's only a few minutes old. Wouldn't it be crazy if somebody walked in there and said, start talking to those babies and said, what an awful past you have. You're despicable. What an awful past that you had. Somebody in their right mind would say, you're crazy. They don't have a past. They were just born. Listen, that's exactly the way God sees us. Hallelujah. I mean, you could have been a thief, a robber, a whoremonger, or whatever else the Bible talks about. You could have been all that stuff. But when you come to Jesus, bless the Lord, the blood of Jesus annihilates that sin. It's like you never sinned before. It's like you never missed it. And that's how God sees you. Okay? So Jesus took our sin. Look at verse 21, same chapter. You got to see this. Jesus became our substitute. He took our sin. What had we taken the place of sin? His righteousness. Okay? Now, 21, I'll tell you, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the entire Bible right here. This is another one of those scriptures that I take on a daily basis. I speak it, I say it, I claim it, I acknowledge it, I speak it, I say it, I claim it, I acknowledge it, because it impacts my faith. It does something on the inside of me. Amen? You see, real true change doesn't start out here. It starts inside. It starts in your heart. If you want to see change in areas of your life, if you want to see change in your body, if you want to see change in your finances, if you want to see change in your marriage or any other thing, it has to start inside. It's got to start. The image of God has to change on the inside of us. Because as you see yourself, that's how you're going to act. If you see yourself as a loser going somewhere to happen, that's exactly what's going to happen. Right? And maybe people put labels on you and so forth, you know, but you know what? They're lying. That's not the truth. Amen? So if you're walking down the road and someone screams out, and there's a lot of people, and they go, "Hey, dummy, don't turn around." They'd be like, "Is he talking to me?" No, he's not talking to me. He's talking to that guy. Amen? So we have to learn not to react to certain things. And we get, and I'm talking primarily, how's the devil's number one arsenal is the thought life. Okay? The thought life. Thoughts and feelings that come from the enemy that bring destruction, thoughts of suicide. Where does that come from? Satan. He's a thief. He's a robber. He's a killer. But he can't just come out and do that to you. He can't just come out and say, "Come on, he'd do that to all of us if he could." But he has to do it through the avenue of thoughts and imaginations. That's how he attacks us. You'd be better off if he took your life. No one loves you. No one cares for you. Your future is a mess. Your life is a mess. So just take your life. It'll be better off. Liar, liar, liar. The devil is a liar. John chapter 8, Jesus said the devil is a liar and the father of lies. Praise the Lord. And we have to, maybe, you know, we are what we are. We're a sum total today of the thoughts that we've been meditating on and thinking on. You're not just depressed for no reason. It's because you accepted a thought in your mind. It might have been a subtle thing. Are you with me now? And that devil starts working on your thought life. You know, it starts up here. It starts in your thinking. That's where it starts. But if you stop it in your thinking and you replace it with God's word and God's thinking, then your days of depression are like, bye, gone for good. Because the devil cannot attack you apart from your thought life. He has to get in your thinking. That's why our minds must be renewed with the Word of God. We got to put this Bible in our thinking and think like the Word thinks. Amen?
Amen.
And so Corinthians 5:21, we're talking about 2 Corinthians 5:21, where Jesus became our great substitute. Want to bring that up, Josh? 2 Corinthians 5:21. There we go. "For he," who's he? That's God, "hath made him," that's who? Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin," that's Jesus, "that we," so that's me, "that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." When are you righteous? When you go to heaven or when you're down here? Here. Praise God. Righteousness, what does that mean? It means right standing with God.
Hallelujah.
Let me give you the definition of this. This righteousness, E.W. Kenyon said this years ago, I'll never forget it. He said, "Righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of God without the sense of guilt or inferiority, as if sin never existed." I'll say it again. Righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of God without the sense of guilt or inferiority, as if sin never existed. Rightness. Righteousness. Jesus didn't sin any more than me and you committed righteousness. He became sin. About a year ago, this time last year, I'll never forget this. I was going along, I was going about my business. And the Spirit of God spoke up inside of me. And he showed me something. You want to know what that is? Come back next week, I'll share it with you. He said this to me. He said, Jesus was the most cursed man that ever walked this earth. Now, he became the curse. He didn't live under the curse when he was on this earth, but when he went to the cross, he was cursed beyond anything that you've ever known. And I'll show it to you from the Scripture. I know we're jumping around here, Josh. Go to Galatians. I don't think it's in the notes, but Galatians chapter 3, and I want to show you something, verse 13. So Jesus took, that's Galatians 3:13. Jesus took our sin. What did we take? His righteousness. Here it says, Christ, that's Jesus, has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Notice this, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. In the next verse, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's you and me. Through Jesus Christ, that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now jump down to verse 29. And if you be Christ, how many of you belong to Christ? If you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Glory to God. Jesus became the curse for the entire human race. He took your sins, my sins, the sins of the world upon him. Think about that. My mind can hardly fathom that, but it happened. Jesus became the sum total of all the curse. And he took the sins of the past and the present and the future of people. And our only job is to receive what he's done. Well, how were the people in the Old Testament saved? Well, they were saved on a promissory note, okay, on credit. And so people in the Old Testament, they couldn't go to heaven. There was a compartment that was separate from hell called Abraham's bosom. You can read about it in Luke chapter 15, okay? Now, that's not purgatory. There is no such thing as purgatory. It doesn't exist. But in Luke chapter 15, you'll see the story about the rich man and Lazarus, you know. And they could see across, you know, but the one was in torment. The other was in ecstasy, okay. And so in the Old Testament, when someone died that was a believer on the Messiah, they would go to Abraham's bosom. But see, that doesn't exist anymore. Because the Bible says that when Jesus was raised from the dead, he went down first and he led captivity captive in Ephesians chapter 4. And he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. Amen? And so he preached to the spirits that were in the prison. They were there and they came out with him. That was why there was a resurrection after Jesus was raised from the dead. And folks were walking the streets that had been gone for years. That'll get your attention. Are you with me? And but now there's either heaven or hell. There's no in between because Jesus has been raised from the dead. But notice that Jesus, if you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed and you're an heir according to the promise. Now, without going into great detail because we're running out of time here, the curse of the law is mentioned in Deuteronomy 28 and it's threefold. It's poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. Poverty, sickness, and spiritual, that's eternal damnation. Jesus redeemed us from the poverty, from sickness, and from spiritual death. And we're in Christ, we have the blessing now. Okay? Now, here's the thing. If you're a Christian, this doesn't just automatically come on us. We have to acknowledge it. We have to know it's from the Word. Then we have to speak it. What's Philemon chapter 1 verse 6 says? That the communication of thy faith may become effectual. How? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord what? Say so. We're supposed to say out loud. And he says, what are we supposed to say? That the Lord has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. I'm redeemed from poverty. I'm redeemed from sickness. I'm redeemed from spiritual death. I'm redeemed from depression. Hallelujah. I'm redeemed from oppression. Praise. I'm redeemed from shame. But I'm redeemed unto the blessing. And Abraham, oh, get this. Genesis 13:2 says Abram was very rich. Not just rich. He was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. I'll just take the silver and the gold. I don't know about the cattle. But amen. Lands. 99% of believers won't do this. But I believe you will. Because 99% of believers say, oh, that's just history. That's just the old, you know, that's for people back then. That's not for me today. No. Remember that lady in Luke chapter 13? That she was bowed over like this for 13 years. And a demon was on her back. That's why she was walking around like this. And Jesus said concerning this woman, she was an Israelite. She was a covenant woman. And Jesus says, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed from this bondage on the Sabbath day? Because the Pharisees are trying to hang them up on it, which day you're going to heal on. You know what I mean? But here's the phrase. He said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, she had rights. She ought to be loosed from this thing. She shouldn't be in this position. And so he ministered to her. She got healed. Amen? Here's the point. 13 years prior to that, she could have been free because she's a daughter of Abraham. Yeah, but Keith, Pastor Keith, that's an Israelite. I'm not an Israelite. If you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed. And you're an heir according to the promise. Whew. Amen. I want to jump through the ceiling tile right now. You know? Praise the Lord. Pop up through one of those rooms and say, hey, how you doing? Good day, sir. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Whew. He took my sin. I took his righteousness. Amen? He took my sickness. I take his healing. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. We'll do this real quick here. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead unto sin should live unto righteousness. Notice this. By whose stripes ye were healed. Past, present, or future? Were. Amen. So, if a symptom comes to your body, some kind of a sickness, and I've done this myself just recently, some type of symptom comes to your body, you look at yourself and you say out loud, Mr. Devil, listen to me. Jesus already took my sin. I don't have to pay for it. Jesus already took my sickness. By his stripes, before he went to that Roman to the cross, he went to the Roman whipping post and had received 39 lashes on his back. Pulled his flesh off his bone. I mean, it was pitiful. And by his stripes that were laid on Jesus' back, those 39 stripes, that paid the penalty for cancer, for tuberculosis, for lung problems, elbow problems, brain problems, any kind of problem. Jesus took that for you and for me. Amen. The fight of faith is staying in the realm of faith and getting out of the senses, because your body has a voice. Your body will talk to you. Say, you hurt today. You're hurting today. You don't feel good today. But you remind yourself, no, by his stripes, I was healed. He became sick. He became the curse. And he took. The scripture says in Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 50, that Jesus, his visage was so marred, his visual image was so marred that he didn't even look like a man. You know, we've seen the movie, The Passion of the Christ. That's pretty graphic, right? In fact, it was a lot worse than that. No movie could capture that. Jesus became the curse. He became your sin that you took his righteousness. He became sick. You take his health and his healing. See, guys, this just takes the struggle out of trying to get something that we've already have. I already have healing. You already have healing. Okay? Now listen, if there's adjustments that you need to make, the Lord will show you. If there's things you need to tweak, I've done that. If there's things you need to change and, you know, get more exercise and eat better foods and stay away from certain, the Holy Ghost will tell you, stay away from that stuff. That's going to mess with you. Are you with me now? But the Holy Ghost will tell you, don't eat that. Don't drink that anymore. That's causing all kind of issues in you. Are you with me now? Not preaching diet, but just listening to the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. My, my, my. One more scripture, and this is it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Praise God. Well, Pastor, what about my money? You didn't touch on that. Well, here we're about to do that right now. Okay? Now, for your information, the chapter 8, Paul is talking in the entire chapter about moolah, money. He's talking about money. So this is not talking about spiritual poverty here. People religiousize and say, well, that's talking spiritual poverty here. No. Verse 9 says, for you know the grace, that's what we're talking about, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for whose sakes? Your sakes, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, Jesus didn't live on this earth. He was walking in the blessing of Abraham, but he became poor on that cross. He became poverty. Amen? If Jesus was poor, then why did he have a treasure? If Jesus was poor, how could he feed 5,000 people? Amen? This is financially. Jesus became poor that for your sake, for my sake. So what did he do? He became the substitute. Jesus became poor. He became the curse of poverty, that I, through his poverty, might be rich. The word rich means to have an ample, full supply. Do you want that? It's already been given to us in Christ Jesus. Amen. I believe it's Romans. I won't turn there, but in Romans chapter 5, Paul said this, for by one man's offense, that's Adam, death reigned by one, much more, they which receive the abundance of what? Grace. And the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Two men affected the whole human race, Adam and Jesus. The Bible's really about two men. I know there's other people in there, but it's really about two people. About Adam and Jesus. What is it about these two guys? Both of them made decisions that affected the whole human race. Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden opened up the curse for the human race because of his rebellion and disobedience. And sin was passed on. You know that. Okay? So death ruled and death reigned by one, by him, by Adam. Okay? So Romans 5:17, he says, much more, they which receive the abundance of grace, and notice the gift of righteousness, that's Jesus, they'll reign in this life. The Amplified says, reign like a king, I think it is. Hallelujah. Through the abundance of grace, which is in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. I feel full. I'm going to push myself away from the table here. I feel full today. The abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness. Folks, this is good news for us here today. Amen? And my Lord, all your sins are forgiven. Your sicknesses and your diseases are healed right now in Jesus' name. And with long life, he will satisfy you and show you his salvation. You're not going to die young. You're not going to die sick. You're going to die at a ripe old age when you're ready to go. Not because you're being evicted from your body because of some thing. It's when you decide, like Paul says, I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Now I'm ready. Okay? Praise the Lord. So we're not going to let sickness or disease eject us out of this body. And you know what I'm saying? No, 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 no. We are the seed of Abraham. Praise the Lord. And we are blessed. Say this. Why don't we stand up and do this? Sometimes standing up will indicate what you're doing inside anyway. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says that surely oppression will make a wise man mad. Okay? What does that mean? When oppression comes, a wise person will say, you ain't touching me. Get out of my house. I'm not going to lay down and let oppression rule over me. I'm not going to let it do that. Or depression or whatever. A wise man gets mad at oppression and says, no, you don't. No, you don't. You're not coming to my house. You're not coming to my thinking anymore. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We praise you. We worship you right now. Kalomi kamule kamolis karabalasha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to pray in a heavenly tongue, Father. According to your word, Father. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When I was a youngster, when I was growing up, and my mom and dad at times had to discipline myself and my sister. 15 years later, my brother came along. They had more mercy on him. But
they always do.
I was a firstborn, you know, in my house. And make no mistake about it, when my parents wanted to get my attention, they knew how to do it. Just the tone in their voice, the way they said something, you know, would grab my attention. You know what I'm saying? And we need to not be passive about what belongs to us. We're going to step up today. We cannot be mealy-mouthed about saying, I resist you in Jesus' name. Get away from me. Get away from me. We can't act like that. We got to stand up. And we got to be bold. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion.
Amen. Amen.
Well, that's just not my nature, Pastor Keith. I'm just kind of meek and mild and timid. Get over it. There's a lion on the inside of you.
Amen.
I'm not trying to be rude. You understand? I'm trying to wake your faith up here this morning because you gotta rise up on the inside of you. You got an enemy out there.
That's right.
Okay? But you have to know who you are. We have to know who we are, and we have to say, I know in certain terms, you ain't crossing this line, devil, anymore. Okay? Praise God. Say this with me. Dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
Thank you.
For more boldness.
More strength.
More strength.
To speak your word. Of what you say to me. It is the truth. I'll not be wimpy.
I'll not be timid.
I'll not be backwards.
I will be bold
to speak
what you say about me.
In the name of Jesus.
I am
the righteousness
of God
in Christ.
I am healed.
By the stripes of Jesus.
Right now.
sickness, disease,
and pain
go from me
now
in Jesus' name.
Condemnation,
get out of here.
Leave me now
in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Praise. For you see, saith the Spirit of grace, you've looked into the perfect law of liberty. For what has been portrayed today through my word is the liberation that I have performed through my Son at the great work that I authored, saith the Lord.
Yes.
So that you have the ability and the grace to come to my throne room of grace with boldness to obtain the mercy that I have provided for you.
Yes.
But there's been great light been shed upon your heart.
Yes.
Light that's been cast before you. So there's no stumbling now, saith the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
So enter into that grace.
Yes.
Enter into the grace. The works that I have done.
Yes.
Don't hesitate. Don't be shy, but come boldly. For it's been declared unto you. So act. Be a doer of the word as I declared in my word.
Yes.
So shall you see the reaping of my word that I've promised you.
Glory to God. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. The scripture says, like what Brother Dan just prophesied, let us come boldly to the throne of what? Grace. Ah, there it is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mm. Yeah. 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 That's not the end of it, Dan. Go ahead. There's something else. Yeah.
Amen. For you see, there's been people that have mocked this message. There are people that have turned their nose and say it's not true. But the witness of my spirit's within you, saith the Lord of grace.
Yes.
Know that these things are true. Enter into them. So shall you step in the greater realm.
Yes.
A greater realm. So,
yes, Lord.
As I said in my word, you've gone from glory to glory and faith to faith.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Step into it, saith the Lord.
Yes,
step
Lord.
Upon the waters.
Yes, 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 yes.
Of the water of my spirit. And so shall you reap the things that I have declared.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Let's give him praise.
We
receive him right now. Receive it right now. Yeah, yeah. Yes, Lord, Lord. Yeah. Oh, let's give him thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.